knew going in there's going to be more transition on defense, and you know, we just felt we needed to kind of add some free agent depth, which we did on the D-line. We added Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Larry Ogunjobi. But then we looked at the depth of the draft. When we started in February, we felt like there was going to be a good number of D linemen that we would have an opportunity at some point early in the draft. Not necessarily first round, which we got a corner, but the next two picks lined up for us to take D linemen. And so we weren't going to turn away from it with the value that we had on our board.
Bill Shim, Brandon Bean, talking about how they came to get the draft class that they did. We talk every Wednesday with Joe Marino, the Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting, Bills Squad as well, a live show that he and I do with Jerry Ostrowski on YouTube Mondays and Thursdays. Joe, good morning. How's the week find you?
Good morning, Jeremy. It feels like it's already been an entire week, and it's only Wednesday morning. So, yeah. Surely this has got to be Friday, right?
Yes, it feels like it. Well, all right, Joe, before we get to the draft class, how have you taken in the last, you know, 24, 48, 72 hours in terms of the Bills and all the discussion about them, whether or not their draft grades, which I see an awful lot of really positive draft grades, Brandon Bean on the media tour here on Pat McAfee, all of it. When you take it all in, where do you land?
Well, I think most people, including you, really like this draft class that the Bills had and set out for this mission of reloading this defense, which has been a problem late in the season. They've done a lot here in free agency and in the draft to improve the D-line, to add in the secondary, to give them a lot more personnel options to be a better third down defense, to get off the field. And that was kind of the missing piece of what was lacking on this defense last year, was that ability to get off the field. And I mean, certainly that's been the theme of everything they've tried to do, was get players that can attack the quarterback, that can cover, and I feel like they've accomplished that. As it relates to the Brandon Bean stuff, you know, obviously it feels like when he starts doing media, it's like he goes on every media outlet imaginable. So he's been on the tour coming out of the draft, and I guess I tend to agree with what he's saying, that, you know, that defense was the problem. Go ahead and make your primary investments there. I simultaneously agree that, you know, there was maybe an opportunity to draft at wide receiver somewhere in the middle rounds to add a player there. I think it went a little bit different than we expected with when Shamir Adike, Deontay Thornton, and Arian Smith went, you know, with the first eight picks of the fourth round. That really, I think, threw off the balance of the wide receiver depth in the class, because those were guys I thought were more fifth, sixth round guys. They started to go a little bit higher. And I think that changed the trajectory of what was going to be available on day three. And those are all players the Bills had in for visits. I think what I take exception with regarding Brandon Bean is the misrepresentation that he has of your opinion of this draft. And what I've landed on is, it's like, for example, going out to eat and having a five-star, you know, five-course meal, and you loved every single course, but you know what? You didn't love the dessert. You thought that dessert was not that good. But then the restaurant owner saying, this guy hates my restaurant because he didn't like the dessert, but he liked the other four courses.
Yeah.
And he's going on this media tour saying, you know, everyone's yelling at me about not wanting a receiver. They're discussing the draft, and their big takeaway is that we didn't get a receiver. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't the big takeaway. It was the, oh, yeah, well, we'd have liked to get for them to get a receiver. And so, you know, I didn't love the demeanor that he had, but I guess really where I'm at now as I continue to think about it is, why are we misrepresenting the actual opinions that you had on this draft? So, you know, it's quite the story.
Sure. And, you know, one of the things he had said was, you know, last year they kind of proved what they can do. And can they do it again? Can Josh Allen and Joe Brady, can they repeat what they did with a couple of changes? Mac Hollins and Amari Cooper appear to be out. Josh Palmer's in. I know you like the Josh Palmer signing quite a bit. He was a guy you would mention as a really good fit for them and for what they need. So, you know, can they repeat? I think there's a lot of, well, at least 1 year of evidence to think that they can. And the offense that they've built showed us last year that it can win in multiple ways.
Yes, I think there's a wonderful opportunity for them to continue, you know, being a top-performing offense. I think Josh Allen and the offensive line and, you know, the multifaceted approach that this offense has is going to position them very, very well to be a good offense. I think everyone should expect them to be a good offense. I think the hard part about sustainability, you know, is not necessarily rooted in personnel. It's this team was very good at taking away the football, and they were unbelievably good at not turning it over, right? I mean, historically good. They turned over 8 times. Is that sustainable? I hope so. You know, that's the piece where the offense could take a turn, is can they continue to not put the ball in bad positions, not put the defense in bad positions? You know, that's what it comes down to. I think the sustainability of their formula last year was really rooted in takeaways and giveaways, and most people would tell you that those things are not predictable. They're not things that carry over year over year. Well, I would say there's a big enough sample size defensively with taking away the football that I feel like that will continue, but I mean, let's be honest, that was a big outlier season for ball security on offense. I hope it's the new normal, but it's year one of that. I think if they're going to sustain the offensive production that they had last year, they have to continue to be unbelievably good at not turning over the football.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills with us on the Wesser Hotline. So let's get to the defense, Joe. You mentioned the third down defense component that the Bills have kind of attacked this offseason. And in the draft, was there a pick where you really started thinking about that more than anything else? What Hairston could have been that in round one, but Sanders, yeah. And after that, like not necessarily just needs, but kind of these, you know, problems they had last year in attacking situations more than positions.
Yeah, Joe, it's really the first two picks, Hairston and Sanders, where Hairston, you know, athletic, right? Unbelievably athletic. And he's a guy that's going to just be tighter in coverage. He's a guy that is aggressive and hunts the football and can really take the air out of pass coverage with how he plays the game with aggression. And that's going to help you be tighter in coverage on long and late downs. But also, when you come around and you trade up for T.J. Sanders, and what was a really good trade for the Bills in terms of, like, they actually gained draft capital by moving up, which is pretty rare. But T.J. Sanders, you know, is the type of guy that profiles as an interior penetration style player, somebody that can get quick pressure in the face of the quarterback, that can kind of wreak havoc, and you pair with Ed Oliver on long and late downs to affect the quarterback. And they didn't go for a big-bodied, space-eating nose tackle, right? Even when they did with Walker in the fourth round, Walker's not a big plug in the middle of the defense that's going to eat space. His best thing is his ability to get up the field and rush. And so that really stands out to me. They could have picked Alfred Collins. You know, they could have looked at a Vernon Broughton or a Jamari Caldwell before the Walker, you know, around that Walker range. But they wanted guys that can rush and create penetration, and that screams third down, right? We want to be good on third down. And I think that was the moment where I really realized, combined with, of course, metrically, they were 29th in third down defense. They gave up, like, the fourth most first downs overall in the NFL last year. You know, I think that all of this kind of baked together. But when it went Hairston, Sanders, I thought to myself, yeah, they're serious about getting better on third downs.
And that's kind of where, Joe, this draft, it's not that different from their organizational philosophy for the last 8 years, right? Pass and stop the pass to a large degree. I mean, this draft was geared more towards stopping the pass. The previous couple had been Kincaid and Coleman, but here you have a number of picks on the defensive line. And as you're mentioning, we were asking about the one technique. Is that going to happen first round? Could they move up? Could they? And maybe if the board fell a different way, we would have seen one of those picks. But ultimately, what they did was they kind of stayed in the mold that they've been built for years.
Yeah, well, I mean, pass defense last year really fell off. I mean, the Bills typically been pretty good at defending the pass, but last year they're bottom 10 in EPA defending the pass, bottom 10 in yards, touchdowns allowed. You know, it's very kind of uncharacteristic, which I guess is to be expected to an extent with, you know, a lot of the transition that happened really in the secondary. But combined with your pass rush, I thought was underwhelming as well. And so all of the improvements you'd like to think in you know, some continuity year over year compared to a lot of transition, whether that was personnel or coaching last year on the defensive side of the football, you know, hopefully they can get back to where they were defensively, even with some evolution, where they can be a little bit tighter and more situationally sound.
Joe Marino with us. Joe, I want to ask you about the Landon Jackson pick in round three, because it is a pick that everybody seems to like. The player hits himself. And I heard you and Jeremy talking about him on your squad show earlier in the week. And he's been described as, what, a little bit stiffer and maybe even the type that the Bills often go for at that position. This is a legitimate question. I'm not even sure it matters, but the Bills don't have a lot of bend to that position in my eyes. But to you, like, does that even matter? If you've got four guys, they might all be similar types, winning in the same ways, but does it even matter, I guess, that they might not have a different type of skill set at that position?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the Von Miller or Leonard Floyd player in the mix. I mean, we'll see what happens with Javon Solomon, who's more of a profile for that type of guy. You know, I think it's if you have that ability to bend and corner, you know, that's obviously very important. But the more important thing for rushing in the NFL, what's more translatable to pressure and sacks, is being able to play with power and being able to play through contact. And I think that's really where Landon Jackson specializes, in addition to, you know, some of the other prototypes the Bills have on the edge, is guys that can compress, play through blocks, and, you know, really compromise the width of the pocket. And I think you have to look at it in concert with the interior guys, where you have power and compression on the edge, and you have penetration and quickness in the middle, and you like to think that all combined together would lead to an effective rush strategy, in addition to how you can work your twists and stunts. I think the Bills' defense metrically last year had a down tick in frequency of twists and stunts, and I think this personnel grouping across the defensive line, where you think about power and compression on the inside, and you want to have those guys kind of work down inside and loop around your quicker penetration style players, you have a lot of opportunities, I think, to run twists and stunts with this personnel grouping. Whereas if you have a lot of just burst and bend and then interior penetrators, maybe that doesn't really work together. Like, you've heard Von Miller, you've heard other people talk about how it's really about four guys working together to rush. It's not necessarily just one guy. And I think the combination of skills inside and outside is a good blend for the way that the Bills can rush and work, use those skill sets together to be the best pass rush they can be.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting as well. Joe, further down the draft chart, you know, we've got the first four picks that I feel like a lot of people have learned a lot about them. Fifth round, sixth round, let's get to the other nickelback and safety. Landon Jackson, when it comes to that, or sorry, I'm mixing names here. Landon Jackson is the defensive end. It's, help me remember his name. Jordan Hancock. Jordan Hancock is the nickel slash safety guy, which to me, that's another one that, you know, here we are in the fifth round we're talking, and that makes a lot of sense, whether it's depth for Taron Johnson. You know, that role has been a name that Bills fans have known over the years, whether that's like a Saran Neal or if it's Cam Lewis. Like, this versatility in the Bills' secondary, it's a fifth-round pick, and I feel like it fit what their defense often needs.
Yeah, and I'm fresh out of the film on Jordan Hancock. I just got finished with that. And, you know, he is a versatile player, plays a lot as a deep safety, a lot in the slot for Ohio State. And what I really like is just his trigger. You know, he's a guy that is physical, that can fly downhill, is a good tackler, good contact balance and hitting power, plays under control, whether that's from depth or even in that slot. Like, there's a lot of, like, Taron Johnson-y type reps where, you know, he's playing on the second level, filling the B-gap, blitzing, being able to click and close and drive and run the alley. You see that physical nature, which will obviously help on special teams as well. But we've seen the Bills play a lot more three safeties, that dime package. I think this is a player that profiles well to having an opportunity there. And I think from, you know, Cam Lewis, I believe, is a player the Bills really like, but you certainly get younger, bigger, and more explosive if you were to lean into Jordan Hancock in that type of role. So I can see a number of ways that he could help this team. Obviously, there's, you know, some well-renowned players that he'd have to kind of beat out. I think he'll be a rostered player. Special teams might be his early course, but you can see him kind of carving out a role and then also providing more depth for Taron Johnson if there were to be an injury like there was last year. You know, a bigger player, you know, if they want to kind of preserve him, that type of role where they ask a lot of Taron to fit the run, I think that Jordan Hancock would be a lot better equipped to do that than Cam Lewis. Although you love the competitive toughness that Cam Lewis has, he's just not nearly as big or athletic as Hancock. So I like the feeling that he would represent behind Taron Johnson.
I want to maybe connect some dots, and I don't think these are directly connected, but Jackson Hawes. So tight end Jackson Hawes, the Bills take him. Most say the best blocking tight end in the class. And if the Bills want to go 13 or big offensive lineman, do you think that it looks like they're going to have a mauler package, right? If they want to put him out there, he's like blocks like an offensive lineman. Could this be the Bills moving away from the tush push, because here's McDermott publicly worried about his quarterback and them wanting to find a different kind of short yardage or mauler package that can get results. It just kind of comes to me now, like I said, maybe not directly connected, but the Bills are going to have a smashing kind of formation when they if all these pieces come together.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting angle to it, Jeremy, and I'll be curious to see if Sean McDermott actually pivots away from the tush push, which has been a pretty effective play for the Bills. So we'll see if there's congruency between the messaging and then what the football team actually does, because there hasn't been, right? I mean, they used it the second most of any team in the league last year, and then he comes out after the season and talks about the optics and safety and protecting quarterbacks. Well, I guess it didn't really apply to your football team. So it's an interesting layer to that. So I think there's some merit to that. He will help, certainly, as you know, a guy that I believe is the best blocking tight end in the class, to help with that type of stuff. But I also think about the kick return stuff, where we're expecting more kick returns this year with the touchback being moved up a little bit. So, you know, he can help in that capacity too, outside of just traditional blocking tight end and what that means. But all right, there's going to be more kick returns. You got to be able to block, and certainly Jackson Hawes profiles to having a nice impact in that area as well.
Does he take anything away in your mind from Alec Anderson's role, or do you see them both coexisting in the offense? Like, in terms, not Anderson is like a backup, but you know what I mean, like the six offensive line package.
That's been a pretty strong staple. It was Anderson, it was David Edwards, it was Tommy Doyle, it was Bobby Hart. Like, this has been going on for a while now, so I don't know that that's going to go away. And even with that, I mean, Quentin Moore still played, you know, 10, 12 snaps a game in addition to, you know, what you got out of Anderson and that role overall. So I think they're comfortable using both. I do wonder about some of the interior questions long-term with Connor McGovern and David Edwards, both starters on the last year of their deal. You know, there's a world where Alec Anderson is suddenly looked at as potentially the successor at either spot. You know, do you want to have more options with that? Does that kind of maybe some of the Chase Lunt vision as a guy that played tight end up until his senior year of high school and doesn't really have the wingspan to play tackle, and he's a little tall to play guard? You know, do you think about him as a guy that can step into that role in addition to Jackson Hawes, and how that can kind of preserve that structure that you love with your big personnel groupings and how they like to run the ball, especially late in the season?
They did ultimately get to a receiver late in the draft. I know when we talked about it, it was someone that was maybe far enough down the radar you had not had a chance to look into deeply. But what about Caden Prather?
Yes, I still need to watch the film there, but obviously size, athleticism, not 4.3 speed by any means, but for his size, I think he runs well. I'm curious to dive into the tape there and see if there's something that differentiates him from like this group of Tyrell Shavers and Jalen Virgil, I guess Laviska Shenault in that mix for the wide receiver five spot. So I still got to get there, but you know, that's the one, that's the receiver there at 240.
Was there one pick, Joe, that wasn't the Bills over the draft that interested you the most from another team?
Oh gosh. There's a lot of them. I guess I would just say generally about the Miami Dolphins. I love what they did to add to their D-line with Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips, and then Jonas Savianaya, big mauling offensive lineman. That felt like, hey, we're finally going to admit that we got to get tougher. And I think the theme of their draft, kind of getting away from some of those just speedy, flashy type guys and like getting back to the roots of what's necessary, that's kind of limited them late in the season. I think that kind of stands out to me, particularly doubling down with Jordan Phillips late. So there's a bit of a wild card pick for you there.
Yeah. They've been called finesse an awful lot. So, I mean, that sounds like a, you know, they're getting away from that a little bit.
Different, new Jordan Phillips, by the way.
Yes,
there's a new Jordan Phillips.
A different Jordan Phillips. There's a new Kyle Williams. He's also in the division,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so head on a swivel.
Look at the Jordan Phillips and the Kyle Williams. And finally, Joe, like, you know, looking back, I asked you this question, maybe had a little more time to think about it since Monday, but a time the Bills were on the clock and it didn't go the way you hoped maybe it would. You know, I think we all have this, and 5 years later, you're looking and thinking, like, I wanted Haloti Ngata. They could be first round, it could be fourth round, it could be sixth round, whatever. Is there a name where they were on it and you were thinking, it should be this, and you're just going to kind of put a pin in that guy's name and see what he does?
Well, it's obviously for me going to be the Deion Walker pick in the fourth round, especially after they traded up. And really, it's not just that I was not interested in Walker and all the layers that come with that prospect. It was, all right, you're still kind of waiting for the receiver, and then exactly those players I talked about that were visitors, DK, Thornton, Smith, they go with the first eight picks of the fourth round, and you're thinking, here's a wide receiver run. The Bills better get in on this. And I'm thinking Jalen Royals out of Utah State is a player I really liked. Torrey Horton out of Colorado State, a player I really liked, that the Bills, they had them both in for visits. And I'm thinking, well, you better go get one. And then you trade up to 109. I'm like, okay, this is aligning for the receiver, and then it's the defensive tackle I didn't want. So that would be the moment for me for sure where it didn't go the way I was hoping for when the Bills got on the clock.
All right, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting podcast, and Bills squad. We'll talk tomorrow, Joe.
Looking forward to it, Jeremy. Thanks, guys.
All right, very good. Joe Marino on the Wester Hotline.
He is a busy man.
Yes, he is.
He's going to watch Caden Prather film. How much film would that be? Hours?
Sure.
Five hours?
No, cut-ups.
Two?
It's a good question.
I watched highlight reels of Prather, and his highlight reels are fun.
Greg Cosell I listened to Greg Cosell with One Bills Live yesterday, and he said, like, this guy shows some pops. There's some stuff here.
I noticed him, a lot of his clips were more he makes, like, he's running real routes. It's not screen passes, but he's making, like, a guy miss on almost every clip. So,
not bad.
We'll see.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring if you want. Are you more or less optimistic or about the same on the Bills, given the offseason is pretty much done? We got 4% saying less optimistic, which I think makes sense. Leading the way, about the same.
You think that 4% is what makes sense?
Yeah.
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 Not that less optimistic.
No, I think about the same. And more optimistic if you have really liked what they've done. I think that you could make the case for that too. 803-0550 on WGR.
If you're going to be a pundit, you're going to be a commentator, which is something I am qualified to talk about. You know what? Mean what the hell you say. Do your research. Know your facts and what have you. But then be open to being corrected. AFC East titles. 5 division titles in the last 5 years. 61-22 record in that span. Ranked second in the NFL only to the Kansas City Chiefs. Your scoring offense over the last 5 years. Best in the NFL. Total offense. Second in the NFL to the Chiefs. Scoring defense, right? Best in the NFL. But your total defense, they obviously have to improve some things, and we get that part. The point is that when the GM calls up and he says to you, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, is entirely inbounds. He was absolutely right to do it, and it ain't just about what you say, it's how you said it.
Stephen A. I mean,
what's up, Stephen A?
Is irony the word there? I guess. Yeah, my mom used to say the smart one shuts up first. I'm not always the smart one. Maybe I could be here.
You would think he would be on the side of, hey, GM, why get mad about two people's opinions?
Well, it's not even that
on the air. I'm sure he's. Can you believe he wouldn't have dealt with that 1,000 times in his life?
Sure. Sure. It is. The whole thing has been, you know, we haven't exactly done much with this, the bean thing from Monday today. We're talking about, you know, the draft, the division, lots of different stuff.
Whether 75 is a round number.
We just had Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast talk about how he thought they'd take a receiver. To me, the oddest thing of all this, if I may, like, here's Stephen A. Smith say, like, we got to admit that we're wrong or being corrected. Part of the reason we thought the Bills might add a receiver in the middle rounds is because of their top 30 visits. They brought in 7 guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I don't know why the Bills GM is acting like trying to portray that this is a silly idea when it was absolutely possible that they did it.
He has admitted he considered it.
Yeah.
Or even it's admitted that he would have done it if the right player was on the board.
Right.
Admitting to that in the Elijah Moore clip that we've played, that he said part of the reason they put a pin in it with Elijah Moore was to see if they were going to pick a guy in rounds 1 or 2. His words.
Right. He got to round 7 and he said, I'm surprised I haven't got a receiver till round 7. Like,
right.
It's very odd being...
We haven't talked about Amari Cooper's place in all this and the fact that they did trade for him.
And he said about Cooper in the offseason... we scored 7 more points per game with him in the lineup.
Right.
He was defending that Cooper made a difference for them.
Right.
The whole thing is so odd. It's almost to me like, I think what happened is, here's what I think happened. Here's the breakdown of it. I think they went in thinking they'd get one. It didn't line up. The GM is someone that is faithful to the process and the board.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get one. And his, it's almost like you're yelling at two different conversations. He's shouting, it never presented itself. What are you talking about? We went through, it didn't happen. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. if they did 10 mock drafts inside their own facility, I bet there's a receiver, and but there's in some of them there's two.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course it was always possible.
Right.
Of course it's not about fantasy football. Joe Marino last segment, like multiple receivers he would have considered. He thought they were going to trade up in the fourth. And I believe their coaches maybe think they were going to get another one, and here's Elijah Moore. So the whole thing strikes me as weird.
It's confusing, for sure.
There's tons of evidence that they were interested in the position earlier, and it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And asking, again, the question... The thing that got Bean mad on Monday was me saying to Sal, I'm going to ask him if he thinks he values receiver on the level of his peers.
Right, on more of a general sense.
And he got,
position.
Which is as tame as it gets to say, I see receivers going a lot earlier for teams that have a lot of receivers, and for you, I don't. And one way he could answer that question would be, yeah, I think that might be right. I've got Josh Allen. I don't need it. The actions say that.
Mm-hmm.
The actions say, I don't feel like I need that many. They've got 4. Some of these depth charts have 6 and 7 guys deep that you'd be comfortable with. And the Bills, again, like you don't even have
4.
You don't even have to make it a fight. It's just a, do you think you're a little lower on this position than others?
Mm-hmm.
If they were drafting number 8, where Tet McMillan went, would they have gone somewhere else? I mean, the Panthers went on McMillan. You want to say that's because for them, they need to prop up Bryce Young a little more? All this has context and makes a ton of sense. So, if they want to say, we don't need to draft it, we'll just go, you know, scrape guys and get Palmers and Samuels. I mean, that is a little bit expensive, but whatever. You can mm-hmm. make a case they can do that. He says, we did it last year. I say, that's right, you did. And if they want to go the next 5 years with this model, and by saving those picks at that position while other teams are chasing it, they build the best defensive line in football, well, then that could work.
Right.
And here's one last thing about it, because I got somebody in the chat on YouTube getting after me for not pounding the table how they can't win like this. And they can't – you love receivers so much, you should be pounding the table. And the reality is this. Brandon Bean has the ultimate trump card that he kind of played at us, and he played on the McAfee show. He gets to go over and pull Josh Allen in front of him and saying, you're saying this guy can't do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to that, I'm not saying he can't do it. I know he can do it. I know he can.
Mm-hmm.
He almost got you to the Super Bowl with the group he had last year. That group from last year to this year is down one starter.
Right.
But you're asking me to you gonna try and tell me Josh Allen can't do this? And that's where anybody with a brain that watches the league that isn't some hot take artist that says Josh Allen needs to be better. No, I'm not gonna do that. All right. You tell me an Allen we trust. I'm gonna say I do trust. And Allen I do trust. And I might not trust some other parts of what they're doing, but I'm not about to bet against Josh Allen. If the Bills win a Super Bowl with nobody of significance at receiver, that Lombardi trophy is just as silver as all the other ones. And if they win 2, maybe Brady won some with these guys and some with these guys, and Mahomes has 1 with Tyreek Hill and 1 with
2 without him.
Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
And the silver is silver, you know? The offseason is about talking about what should you do? What do you think they're going to do? Hey, fans, let's talk about it. And
what you think gives them the best chance to do all this.
And ultimately, we're all aligning it. The Twitter poll up today is, are you more optimistic or about the same or less? And it's 96% or about the same or more, which I think is how the offseason pretty much works around here. Like, all right, take another run at it. You had a great year.
Mm-hmm.
There were some questions about them last year, and they looked pretty strong. So, you know.
Yeah.
The whole thing strikes me as odd because he's trying to make it seem like he's getting blasted for not taking a thing that he clearly was targeting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
When he's not getting blasted, and he's mocking the idea that why would you even think we wanted that? 7 pre-draft visits would tell me.
Right. Well, right. He made the comment. I don't even know if we've brought this one up specifically. How could you? This isn't going to be an exact quote, but it's roughly what it was. How could you think that we're not better at that position this year than we were last year? He said that.
Yeah.
And that has to be about Josh Palmer, right?
Which
he's the only big difference, and he's probably right in that Palmer is going to be an upgrade over both Cooper and Hollins, but. Again, like I continue to point to that vacated snap stat. Like there are 1,100 of those, and Palmer is not going to play them all. So I think maybe where the difference would be for me is, and then like that question, which is only a small piece of this, I guess it's a piece of it, is are they actually going to be better? Palmer, yes, but that can't be all of it. It's how much do you trust the internal guys to be better than they were last year? Yep. And that's possible. Kincaid taking a step, Coleman taking a step, and Samuel staying healthy. But that's an if.
Right. And
three ifs.
And the shield you have against those ifs is you have the unicorn quarterback that's going to be a part of all of them, or one of them, or two of them, doing it. And like I said, I don't think anyone's here to bet against Josh Allen.
And look what they're doing. It's different than what they're doing at corner right now, by the way. Like, wide receiver, the guys you are relying on right now there are ifs about them. And if at the moment those don't come to fruition, this is part of why just one more guy would have felt perfect for it. And they might do that with Elijah Moore or another veteran. Is if one of those ifs doesn't come to fruition, what's my next man up? And that doesn't seem, it seems pretty thin right now. What are they doing at corner? Corner, there are ifs. Benford's health. Benford has had problems staying healthy. It's a little bit of an if. He's great. I mean, he was on the field. There's no question. Hairston as a rookie, whether he'll be ready, that's an if. Tre'Davious White returning to form, even at 60% of what he used to be, that's an if. So I've got ifs at that position, but look at all the options they've given themselves. I've got Dane Jackson here and Jamarcus Ingram there. I've got guys that have played on the field.
Yeah.
And I've got rookies that they drafted as well on top of that. And that's not presently how they're treating receiver, except for, again, they're bringing Elijah Moore in for a visit, and that would be treating receiver the same way.
Jimmy in Miami before the break. Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, I want to ask you about Isaiah Bond, but the whole Bean thing. You know, I was thinking, if Bean doesn't say the B word 4 times, I counted, and I replayed the whole interview, like, I don't know how many times. But if he doesn't say that, he doesn't escalate the whole conversation. In other words, if the conversation starts out like, well, I've been listening to you guys for the last 2 minutes. I know you're talking about receiver with Sal and stuff, but let me state my case. And if he goes through his whole situation, why what he was thinking, and the whole process of his thought process there, and he doesn't say the B word, it's a non-issue. Nobody's talking about it on ESPN. Nobody's talking about it on McAfee. It's like, okay, fine, you stated your case. That's it. But that's what I had to say about that. The other thing is Isaiah Bond. I know he's had some off-field issues. He was supposed to be a first-round draft pick. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to be prosecuted or even if he is picked up by an NFL team, if there's going to be some sort of suspension. But is this guy just a fast guy? Is he a technician? Does he know how to run routes? Or, in college, if you could just run fast, you run by a defender.
Yeah, well,
you know,
Jimmy,
a lot of touchdowns.
We're up against a break, and we got a bunch of people lining up to talk about this. On Bond, the Bills met with him a lot.
Yep.
And when we talked about that arrest and turning himself in, we wondered, does that take him off their board? Before that.
Or even just drop the stock.
You're right. With Isaiah Bond, the Bills had combine, dinner, pro day, private workout, top 30 visit. At least 5 visits with Bond. And he did not get drafted.
And has not been picked up.
No.
I actually looked at this yesterday. I don't think anyone has signed him.
I wonder, there's a name here that I can remember. It was Lyle Collins, who actually did come to the Bills. In 2015, he was supposed to be a top pick, top 10, first rounder, and he dropped because it was announced he was scheduled to talk to the police about the shooting death of a pregnant woman with whom he had a relationship with.
Right.
So what happened?
Didn't get drafted.
He was not considered a suspect. He went undrafted.
Right. And he did end up starting for Dallas for many years after that situation cleared itself.
Yes. In here is his agent threatened he would sit out the season and enter the next draft. Okay. If any team selected him after the third round, he would sit out. So basically,
okay,
he's mentioned in this. He's not a suspect. The agent says, if you draft him after the third, we're sitting out for the year. What happens? He signs as a UDFA on May 7th. Cowboys. Like mm-hmm. He had the thing. It's cleared. UDFA. And I wonder...
But is Bond's situation going to be cleared?
Again, like innocence is a key here. If Bond is cleared, that's UDFA. And
but at the moment, nobody wants to touch him.
Nope. No, undrafted. But the Bills had at least five different visits with him.
Yeah, the prospect's nice. I would defend any team, though, for right now.
Listen, you can...
Him turning himself in like a week and a half ago, not wanting to go near him with a 10-foot pole.
You could be mad at us. You could be putting on your bean shirt. Why are we talking about receiver? You met with Isaiah Bond five times. Why are we talking about receiver? Because you met...
Well, in this case, we just got asked about Isaiah Bond.
That's true. But like, why are we talking about receiver? Why are you talking about the entire pre-draft process was littered with receivers. And if you're someone doing your job, looking pre-draft, you'd say, I think they might be interested in one of these guys. How many corners did they interview and meet with? Seven. Seven corners, seven receivers. The numbers that we got, it was
minutes.
Five defensive tackles, four edge rushers. And they also drafted a bunch of guys on their sheet.
Yeah, actually, if you let's do some generic analytics here. Minutes spent talking about per top 30 visit. What would number one be? It wouldn't be receiver. Probably be safety. Didn't they only have one safety in on a visit?
They had one safety in.
All right. So minutes that we talked about the position per how many visits they came in. I think safety's actually the position people should be yelling at us about.
Why'd you talk about safety
at all? They had one guy in for a visit. They have four guys that have all played in the NFL on their roster. I thought it was defendable.
Yeah.
But they also didn't do it. So.
It's also defendable for Bean to have not taken a receiver. Like it's defendable. Like we just laid it out with Joe Marino, the top of the fourth round. A bunch of guys went. Like, uh-oh. There might have been your run that you missed out on. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe. Sometimes referred to as Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
Depending on which shouty show you're listening to. If you're on hold, stick with us. People want to talk about this, that's fine with us. Last thing I want to do is be accused of like, oh, you're bringing it up again. But if we're talking about the bigger issue, then I welcome it. All your calls are welcome. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for tuning in on WGR. Josh is shouting right back to break because we were late.
Did you see Giannis yesterday getting into it with Tyrese Halliburton's dad?
No.
So they're up seven. They need to win to advance the series. Bucks are up seven with 30 to go. They blow it. Guy chokes. Ball goes through his legs. Easy ball. Halliburton one-on-one with Giannis for the win with 1 second to go when he hits it. And Giannis is just standing on the court like in shock. And here comes Halliburton's dad. His son just hit the game-winning shot over Giannis, and he's in Giannis's face looking up at him. And Giannis originally like doesn't know what to do. He probably is thinking, I should walk away right now, and then he gets like right in his face, and they looked like they were about to fight.
I believe this is where someone's supposed to say, this league.
I saw that tweet a billion times yesterday. Yeah.
Wide open for phone calls on the other side. People want to talk about playmaker on offense, Amari Cooper, the Bean stuff. Yeah. It's Wednesday. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.